It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Wednesday, March 6th. I'm Patricia Naft. Another effort to give local communities more control over oil and gas drilling was defeated at the State House Monday. As Benta Berkland reports, two Democrats killed the bill by joining with Republicans to give them enough votes to strike it down.
House Bill 1355 would have reaffirmed the authority of local cities and towns to regulate noise, traffic, and visual impairment associated with oil and gas drilling. But Republicans worry the measure could potentially allow local communities to ban drilling. Republican Representative Cole Wist from Centennial says the state Supreme Court is already considering the issue of local control.
The Supreme Court will issue a ruling on this precise issue. Does it make sense for us as a body to act on this issue before the court acts?
Democratic Representatives Paul Rosenthal of Denver and Ed Vigil of Alamosa sided with Republicans. The governor also opposed the legislation. While most Democrats believe the bill would have added protections for citizens who live near oil and gas development. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The county commissioner race in District 1 in San Miguel just got more crowded. Three Democrats were already on the ballot before David Oyster turned in enough signatures this week to petition his way on. He'll face Jill Masters, Hillary Cooper, and Brian Ahern in the June primary. Over in Montrose County, Edward Ulibarri missed the signature deadline. This means Keith Cady won't face a Republican challenger in the upcoming primary. He's running for county commissioner in District 1. The Ridgeway Fire Department is hoping to add an extra 5,000 feet to its station, but the building isn't the only part that's developing. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Imagine for a second a worst-case traffic accident. You're out in the mountains at night, and your car slides through the snow and off the road.
Say you have serious injuries where you're trapped under a dash. You're bleeding, your feet are crushed, you know, you worry about blood clots, you worry about weather.
That's Chris Miller, the fire chief for the Ridgeway Volunteer Fire Department. If you were injured but pinned inside your car, he'd be one of the people getting you out. Now, with some recent training, the rest of the crew can help with the rescue, too. Normally, Ridgeway has to call on help to get people out of cars from crews in Ouray or at the county level. It takes special knowledge to know how to use not only the hand tools, but the powerful cutters, and in the case of someone pinned, a handheld machine that spreads the car apart.
So with those tools, you can come in there and within minutes, you know, remove the doors, remove the roof, roll a dash up off of a person.
Now that they're equipped with the tools and the training, the crew can respond faster in those life-threatening situations. The all-volunteer crew had to pore over car anatomy, so they knew where the reinforced steel is and which parts of the car should definitely not be cut through.
We went through airbags, seatbelts, batteries. You wouldn't believe how many explosive units are in the newer cars these days. Curtain airbags, airbags on your knees, your feet. It takes a lot to study all that.
Miller says that the crew does 800 hours of training every year, and that's just for responding to fires. With these new skills, the volunteers will spend even more time staying prepared. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
So far this year, more than 1.5 million tons of coal was mined in Colorado. That may sound like a lot, but it's only half of what was produced this time last year. 2015 had a rough finish for the coal industry on the Western Slope. Production at the Bowie No. 2 mine dropped to just 10% of normal after announcing layoffs. That mine is set to idle in late June. The West Elk mine dipped in production last year, but recent numbers show a change in that trend. The mine's future is still uncertain, though, after its owner, Arch Coal, filed for bankruptcy protection in November. Region 10 received a large grant from the state to help improve broadband on the Western Slope. KBNF's Laura Pomisano spoke to Michelle Haynes, the organization's executive director.
Tell me why Region 10 is involved in Internet.
Region 10 actually serves as the economic development district and the council of governments for our six counties. And a few years ago, when we began talking about economic development, again, just coming out of the recession at the beginning of the losses at the mines, the job losses there, we began discussing economic development and barriers to economic development within our region. And within almost all of our counties and communities, access to broadband was identified as the top issue for economic development. So to address that, we set out to try to develop a plan that would help us improve our broadband access within the region, primarily to address it as an economic development issue.
What is that plan?
So the plan, basically, we were able to obtain some grant funding to have a consultant come in and work with us. And so we contracted with Diane Cruz from NeoFiber out of the Colburn area. And she was able to help us develop a plan that looked at efficient use of existing resources. So our plan is heavily dependent on existing lines that carry broadband that maybe aren't being used within our region. And so lines like that are carried on the tri-state lines regionally. And fortunately, Delta Montrose Electric Association became involved as well. They had been building out broadband for their internal use, and they donated use of some of their lines as well to the regional project, again, recognizing the impact on economic development for our area. So the plan is basically to use a lot of existing resources that exist within all of our six counties to lease some of those lines, or in the case of the MEA, they donated the lines to the project, which helped us leverage that money for additional grant dollars, and then build from those lines into each of our communities. So the plan is to have a carrier-neutral location, which is an open access point that any of the private ISPs could access in each community. And then our plan is what we call a middle-mile project. So it will be to the ISPs to take it out to the last mile. But a portion of our plan does include connecting anchor institutions and government institutions, things like schools, hospital, libraries, to those lines as well to ensure that we have adequate access.
Tell me about the grant Region 10 just received.
So we were really fortunate. We were actually having a meeting with our private ISPs to talk about partnering for Last Mile, seeing if there are creative ideas that they have. We've gotten some very creative cost savings ideas from our ISPs. And we were fortunate that Irv Halter, who is the Executive Director of Colorado Department of Local Affairs, or DOLA, as we refer to them most typically, attend that meeting. He was in the area and kind of wanted to see what we were doing and lent his support to the project, and announced at that meeting that we had obtained a second DOLA grant and for a little over about $1.8 million almost to finish the phase two portion of our project. So our project, we were applying for funding in a couple of different phases, and so this supports the build-out of the rest of the regional lines, not only in the Montrose Delta area, but our other four counties.
When will some of these communities in your six-county service area start to see better broadband?
Well, we're hoping to have at least a couple of the communities, the city of Delta would be one, potentially the city of Montrose, have access to service at least at their CNL by the end of this year. So obviously, you know, there's some work to be done there before that happens. And the total build-out is within the next 2 years. So we're hoping within the next 2 years we have access at least to the carrier-neutral locations in all of our communities.
Thank you for your time, Michelle.
Thank you, Laura.
That was Region 10 Executive Director Michelle Haynes speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix.